sometimes it helps to look at particular words and get what the understanding of what they mean, and especially for us, and how we can understand them. You know, God spoke them to mean one thing, and of course, unfortunately, many false teachers change the words and say they mean different things and things like that. But we're going to look at the word long-suffering tonight, and that's basically a passage that we recognize that God is long-suffering. It talks about God being long-suffering. Christ is long-suffering. We are supposed to be long-suffering, and so let's look at this. But to set this up, I want to tell you about my plum trees. About 25, 30 years ago, my wife and I bought our first house. And we were kind of proud of that. And my parents, who lived quite a ways away, but they did a lot of, they had fruit trees and they had vegetable garden stuff. So they brought me some plum cuttings. And so I was going to have some plums in my backyard. So I planted 3 plum trees in my backyard. And it was pretty neat because they started growing. They grew up real fast. And that first year, I mean, they're almost as tall as I was. The second year, they were twice as tall as I was. I was excited about those trees. And then all of a sudden, the next year, they had blossoms on them. And when you start seeing blossoms, oh, goody, I get plums. And I was so excited about that. But that first year came and went, no plums. The next year, a lot of blossoms, but you guessed it, no plums. And that next year, I was getting very frustrated with this because I was watching it. They had all the blossoms on it, and then I kept watching and waiting and waiting and looking. So when the tropical storm came through and blew them all down, I didn't shed a tear. But I was really ready to cut those things down a couple of years before that. But each year they'd come up a lot of block. Well, maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the year. But anyway, I did some thinking about that. Now, in the fruit of the Spirit, we read about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. All right. So the fruit that we're looking for is the fruit that we are to bear in our lives. And this is done in many ways. It's sometimes done by the example that we set. We are designed by God to bear good fruit. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And, of course, good fruit is, like I said, our example, our teaching, our evangelism efforts. This is all good fruit. Doing good, like Christ did. That's the kind of fruit we're supposed to bear in our lives. And sometimes if we have taught someone and have converts, that's some of the fruit that we have borne. And that's how it's described in the scriptures. You know, Paul talked about some of the fruit that he had brought forth. And so we look at it that way. And so another way, when you start collecting fruit, it's because the harvest from what has been sown. And sometimes fruit is not necessarily about what we technically call fruit. Sometimes even vegetables, like the wheat was the fruit of the harvest. And so wheat is not a fruit, but it was called that in the scriptures. And so the harvest, what we have sown, if we sow good seed, we should get a good harvest. And even Jesus talked about that in the parable of the soils. And in Matthew chapter 13. And in our case, this is intended results of what God wants his people to be. When you think about it, God wants us to be, and part of this fruit is long-suffering. And so we need to look at long-suffering and see what we need to do to make sure we fall under that category. And so in other words, the desired results of the efforts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us a lot of things. And one thing he teaches us is, yes, we should be long-suffering. So now let's figure out what long-suffering is all about. And so this is just all part of learning to live the way God wants us to live. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what God wants from us. You look at all those things in the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, God wants us to be that way. And so we need to learn to do those things. Now, the Spirit that is mentioned, yes, it's the Holy Spirit of God. It's the third person of the Godhead. And it's the one charged to reveal God to mankind. And so how did he do it? He did it through the written word. And so we know there's a God, and you can look at the evidence of this world and creation and come to figure out there is a God, but who is the God that we should be worshiping? And so God needed to reveal himself to man, and he spoke to man early on. He spoke through the fathers, and then through the prophets, and then through Moses, and then finally through Christ. And so Christ commanded the Holy Spirit to teach his message, his gospel, to the whole world. And so how did he do that? He inspired people. He assisted people in their development. He gave people special gifts in order to do that. And so the Holy Spirit is the one charged to develop man to God's ideal. And so we have the Bible, the written word, which is the product of the Holy Spirit, and it helps develop us if we will obey it, if we will do what it tells us to do. And so the work of the Spirit is the Word of God. I mean, yeah, he has other works too, but this is one of his works, one of his major works. And he brought us the Word of God. And so that's something that we need to be paying attention to, because the Spirit, like I said, the third person of the Godhead, it comes from God. So the Bible is the Word of God. Now, when we look at the word long-suffering, Webster's dictionary, even an old dictionary, says bearing injuries or provocation for a long time. Patient endurance of pain or unhappiness, and patient, not easily provoked, and disposed to bear inconvenience or injury patiently, long patience of offense. People pick on you and they nag on you and you just kind of put up with it. That's basically what it means. Yes, we use that word patient quite often when trying to associate it with long-suffering. And the people who do these things tell us that. Now, the WorldNet Dictionary, you get off the internet, as a noun, it is patient endurance of pain or unhappiness. I mean, yes, sometimes we go through pain, we endure it. Sometimes we go through periods of unhappiness. We still need to endure it and get through it and not let it destroy us. Some people don't get that far and they let their pain and their unhappiness unhinge them to the point that they just become depressed. And when they're depressed, they don't want to do anything, and so they cannot be a good servant of Christ when they are that way. Now, as an adjective, patiently enduring continual wrongs or trouble, or an enduring disposition. The word enduring here means hanging in there. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's continual wrongs and trouble cast our direction all the time by our society, by the elements that think they're trying to rule us in that sense. And yes, it's constantly wrong things that people are trying to do to us, and we need to learn to bear it. I mean, we think about what Jesus went through. He endured the cross. I mean, he wasn't ashamed to go to the cross. He knew what the purpose of that dying was going to be, and he willingly did that. So a synonym to this long-suffering is enduring. Sticking it out. I mean, that's what it is. Now, Mr. Vine, W. E. Vine, wrote an expository dictionary of New Testament words. And he looks at the Greek language, and then he gives us a meaning of what it is. Now, the word as a noun is macrothumia, and that means, that's taken from the roots macros, meaning long, and then thumos, temper, long temper. You wait a while, a long time, before your temper finally erupts. And we're going to see that in a little bit. Sometimes it's rendered as forbearance, patience, or long-suffering. That's what this said this word actually comes through. Now, as a verb, it's macrothumio. I mean, just one letter difference in this, but still, it changes it from a noun to a verb just by one simple little letter. And he says this means patient, long-suffering, long-tempered, or as the American version said, bear long. I mean, so all of these, we put them together, we have an understanding. You got to do it. I mean, it's just, it's one thing to show patience, but showing your patience when things are kind of looking like they're getting out of hand and it's becoming frustrating, or when we think we can't handle no more, we want to pound somebody. So we don't want to get to that point. So God wants us to be patient when wronged. So he also says, you see also the words bear, endure, patient, and suffer. So these are words that can be in association with long suffering. Now, most of the more modern versions translate the original word as patience or to be patient. And so you'll see that when you look at the King James, you see this macrothumio, and it's translated long-suffering. But some of the other newer versions, they might say, well, that's just being patient. And so there is a difference, though, because the Greek word for patience is different. It's hupomone, and that's just the idea of being patient. And so that word carries pretty much the same idea, yet there are slight differences in their meanings. Just like we have words in our language that sound alike, or they basically are synonyms, they mean the same thing, but depending on the context, it might have a slightly different slant to it. And so, we're going to let Mr. Vine explain the difference. And here's how he did it. Long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. It is the opposite of anger and is associated with mercy and is used of God. Now we remember when Jesus was carried before the council, they slapped him, they spit on him, they were calling him names and mistreating him. And did he come back and fight back? No, he did not. He was provoked, but he did not cast a railing judgment against them. Now, he says patience is the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is the opposite of despondency and is associated with hope. It is not used of God. So long-suffering is used to describe God's patience, and patience is used to describe the kind of patience we are to demonstrate in our lives. So let's see the word in the Bible. We're going to go through some passages in the scriptures and read these. In Exodus 34, 6 and 7, and the Lord passed by before him, as Moses on the mountain receiving the law, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. God himself described himself in this term, merciful, gracious, and long-suffering. And so, in Numbers 14:18 is pretty much a repeat The Lord is long-suffering and great of mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. So Moses wrote this twice, as he was directed to do so. In Jeremiah 15 and 15, he says, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake, I have suffered rebuke. Now, we call Jeremiah the weeping prophet because he had a lot of complaints. And he verbally expressed those complaints to the Lord quite often. But sometimes as he starts talking, he kind of works himself around and say, but you, O Lord, you're good, and so you will do this for me. But anyway, he says, I know, you just got to be patient with me, Lord. Don't we ask him to do the same thing with us? We ask him, you need to be patient with me. I mean, I'm trying my best, but, you know, I'm getting frustrated here. I've tried to teach people, they don't want to listen, and that's frustrating. And I'm trying to live the right life, and people keep making fun of me and doing things to me and trying to disrupt my way of life. And so, I mean, just please be patient with me. And so we'll pray to God and ask God to have that kind of patience with us. In Psalm 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. I mean, this is something it's going to catch God's attention. Let's put it this way. The best way to catch anybody's attention is to give them a compliment, right? Yeah, so we do that. We give someone a compliment. Okay, they're going to be listening to hear what else is coming next. Because you get one compliment, hey, I like that. I want another one. So you're going to listen. You're going to pay attention. And so the psalmist here says, you're full of compassion and gracious, and you're long-suffering. You know, this reminds you of some of the different prayers that we read from the Old Testament. You know, how Daniel came before God, said, God, you're great, and you are so loving in all this. And so, don't kill us right now. I mean, if you want to put it in the language like that, to simplify it, just please don't kill us right now. Don't destroy us right now. Give us a chance. You are long-suffering, you are gracious, you are kind, you're plenteous in mercy and truth. And so we see that. Now, just how long-suffering was God in the Old Testament? Well, he put up with the provocation, the insults, the rejection, the obstinacy, the stubbornness of the people, even while they worshipped other gods and crafted their idols. I mean, he did this. From the moment he brought them out of Egypt, he started calling them an obstinate people, a stubborn people, and he was complaining about them. And like I said this morning, he really kind of just wanted to wipe them out and start all over. But Moses said, no, we're not going to do that. And so from the Exodus out of Egypt to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Chaldeans, all about 800 to 1,000 years. That's how long-suffering God was. Do we have that kind of patience? Actually, we don't. In fact, if it's more than 10 minutes, we're sitting in a restaurant, it's more than 10 minutes. Where's my waiter? Where's my waiter? I want my food. Where's my food? You're depriving me of my food. I mean, we start making an issue after just a few minutes. I mean, so we do so. So we're not patient like God is, for sure. All right, Romans 2, 3 through 6. And it says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after the hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Yeah, folks, you're going to be facing judgment. You know, in chapter 1, he was talking about the Gentiles and they're turning away from God and doing their own thing and practicing all sorts of sin. And you could just hear the Jews sitting back, yeah, go ahead, tell them, lay it on them. Then he turns around, but you know what? You're guilty of the same thing. You Jews are guilty of the same thing. You're doing these things and you're putting God to the test. You're really trying his patience, is what he's saying. And God, I mean, he is rich in goodness and forbearance, and he's long-suffering. And you know what? You better be thankful for that long-suffering. Because let's look at Uzzah. Uzzah did one thing. He touched the ark, boom, he was dead. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, boom, they were dead. And so we better be hoping that God is patient and long-suffering with us and gives us the opportunity to correct ourselves. See, in Romans 9, 21 through 23, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? Now you wonder, what does this make out of the same lump of clay, a vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Well, they take the clay and they mold it into various things. Sometimes they mold it into bowls, which you can prepare your food in and serve your meals with. And something similar to that, you know, some people call them honey pots. And you know what those are. So yeah, the potter has the ability to make both. And one is for honor, one is not for honor. So God is willing to show us he does have wrath, but he also has long-suffering and mercy. In 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 10, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. Now, Paul is explaining his right as an apostle here in 2 Corinthians. He says, I've gone through a lot. I've endured a lot. Most people would not tolerate what I've gone through. And he describes this in chapter 11. And he goes through and starts talking about, okay, I've been in shipwrecks, I've been beaten, I've been stoned, I've been left for dead, and I've faced robbers and all sorts of these things for the cause of Christ. And so he was basically saying, I've done all this, what have you done? What have you done in the name of Christ? Have you endured any of this stuff? I mean, and so that's what he's talking about. See, the previous passage we read was the first time that the quality of long-suffering was offered for us to learn to do. I mean, the example of Paul. He said, be imitators of me as I am of Jesus. Yes, he was long-suffering. That's a quality that he wants us to participate in, to practice. And so we read all these others. They were all dealing with God's, how God is. God is long-suffering. But now all of a sudden, here, I've endured this stuff. So can you. And another one is Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So yes, once again, long-suffering. See, Paul prayed in Colossians 1, 10 through 12, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, he was praying to the Colossians, said, this is my prayer for you. Back in verse 9, he said, I pray that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And what is that supposed to entail? That you might walk worthy of the Lord. So we need to learn how God wants us to live and then start doing those things. Being pleasing unto the Lord, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in our knowledge of God, and strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, the power of the gospel, unto all patience and long-suffering. That's where it needs to bring us to the point that, okay, we need to learn to be patient. We need to be long-suffering. And yes, do so with joyfulness. Even when people are making fun of you and trying to persecute you, well, there's a reason they're doing it. And we should be just like Peter and James when they left the temple being beaten. They were happy that they were able to suffer because of Christ. And Christ said, blessed are you if you suffer because of me. See, in Colossians 3, 12 through 13, see, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I mean, this is a King James language, and it reads differently in the New American Standard, but it's pretty much saying the same thing. If we are going to be the elect of God, we have to put on the qualities of Christ in our lives. And that's what he's focusing on here. In 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Paul says, use me as an example. What was I doing? I was on the road to Damascus to take his followers and put them in prison, and even to see to their death and to seize their property. I was doing that. And so, if I was that way, why did Jesus show patience with me? In fact, he showed forth all long-suffering. He says, there's someone so convicted in his faith, in his belief, and once he learns the truth, he's going to be a valuable asset of mine. And that's basically how Jesus approached it. And that's how Paul describes that situation. He did things that he wasn't proud of, but he did so in all good conscience. I mean, he thought he was doing right. Once he was shown the truth, then he changed and started teaching the truth as he was shown by Christ and, of course, the Holy Spirit. All right. And so Paul, speaking of his ministry in 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 12, he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, when Paul went to these places and he got beat up, he got trapped and stuff like that, remember, Paul didn't go anywhere by himself. He always had some followers. He had some people with him. And Timothy was one of those. T- Timothy was would carry the letter to the Ephesians. He would carry some letters as Paul wrote them. He would carry them out and deliver them to people and bring back word of how the church was doing and things like that. And so Paul, sometimes he's telling Timothy, you know what I've been through. You've experienced a lot of it yourself. You've seen these things happen. You've seen people start picking on me and demanding I change my thinking and my ways and my teaching. And I was able to withstand it all, is what he said. And this is what you need to be doing also. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So patience and teaching is what the New American Standard says, and some other modern versions use that word patience. And so there is, like I say, a slight difference between patience and long-suffering. But if we're going to understand it in our vernacular, basically, be patient. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. Now, 1 Peter 3:20, I mean, Peter's talking about knowing the ark, which sometimes we're disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And so God was long-suffering then. How long did he do it? And how long did he wait this time? Well, we know he said man's days will be 120 years. You know, Genesis 6:3. Then he found Noah and said, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. And so he was long-suffering that much. Give these people a chance. It says Noah was a preacher of righteousness, trying to get people on board of serving God. But God recognized the majority of them, their only thought was evil continually. And it distressed God. He says their days are numbered. See, in 2 Peter 3:15, and here's something we need to remember. And this is to our benefit. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. The long-suffering of God means he's going to give us time to get things right. And just like with the Israelites, he kept giving them time to get things right. They'd do so for a little bit, then they'd fall back. They'd do it. Their heart was not in the right place, but yet he was long-suffering with them for all these many years, and eventually he got to that point, enough is enough. I'm going to end it all. And he started speaking 140 years before that he started speaking through the prophets, Isaiah, getting them to start getting their lives right with God. Return to the Lord God, or you're going to pay the price. Then he got some of the prophets that were much closer, like in the days of Jeremiah. They said, the day of the Lord, it's coming. It's going to be here. And you haven't been paying attention, and you're going to deserve everything you get. And so, yes, the Lord was long-suffering, but if he's long-suffering with us, that means he's given us a chance. Get a chance to get right with God. Now, really, that falls upon us. Now, what are we going to do about that? We just going to put it off until the final moments? No. We don't know when the final moments are going to be. So, anyway. Now, the word long-suffering is spoken of God 8 times. And it's spoken of Christ 1 time. Saying Christ was long-suffering. And Paul himself described himself as 3 times as long-suffering. And he was basically teaching the people, the things you've heard and seen in me, you do these and teach others also. And so he's using this as an example. This is what God wants me to be. Here's what I want you to be. So that's what Paul was saying to the people. And it's spoken that way. And it's commanded of Christians 5 times. Five times, and that's within also included in the fruit of the Spirit that we read about. The long-suffering is in the fruit of the Spirit. Now, in conclusion, long-suffering is a characteristic of God, Jesus, and others, which we are to apply to ourselves. When things aren't going our way, we got to be able to apply long-suffering, because God does things in His time. You know, sometimes we hear the prayer, God, give it to me, and I want it right now. I mean, no. We got to wait and do things in God's time. See, patience means to tolerate and put up with someone who has given you a hard time. Long-suffering means to refrain from punching someone in the nose who really deserves it. I mean, that's the difference between the two. And so, perhaps now we can appreciate long-suffering and realize maybe we can do this, and we need to make it a part of our lives. So think about that. I mean, it should be a valuable lesson for us, and we ought to be able to do these things. So consider these thoughts. I mean, that's our lesson for tonight. I hope you appreciate it. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.